just want to give you a challenge this morning. Turn to the book of Judges, chapter 20. This message has been on my heart for a long time. I preached it years ago. Brother Mark, for some reason, I just couldn't get it out of my heart. And the Lord said, this is a... I was going to preach this morning, to be honest with you, when I had planned on preaching. I was going to preach on the temple, building of the temple. And by the way, next Sunday, I will probably, if the Lord will let me, I'm going to be preaching about building next Sunday. We have some things going on this week. I'm meeting with people. I have a lot of fact-finding things to do this week. And if I can get all my stuff together this week, I'm coming to church with my King James Bible, preaching about building. We are going to build. And we're going to, by God's grace, we're going to build this year. And we're going to take whatever God gives us, and we're going to start. And we're not going to get a loan. And I know that's a big statement. But I'm determined that God wants us to do it without getting a loan. And I just believe God's big enough to give it to us. And it's about time Bethel Baptist steps out on faith. And he told me that day, we were sitting there with the mortgage man. He said, what are you going to the world for? Why don't you trust me? Why don't you just start with what you got and let me supply as you go? And it's going to be scary. Already, Satan attacked me and said, now you got pie in your face. You told me you wouldn't get a loan. Now you can't. I don't care. God's going to do it. And by the way, you'll be glad when we don't go in debt for it, too. But now that means a lot of us are going to have to do some painting and some drywall and picking up junk. And we're going to have to all put our hands to the plow. We're going to have to get help. We're going to have to give money to get out there. Then we're going to have to use our hands to put up what we paid for. Amen? But we'll be glad when we get it. We'll be glad that it'll be done. I must tell you this. I have an architect that I met in Toledo Monday morning. He's coming here Tuesday. He's going to be meeting with JP and another man, and he's going to give them the blueprints, the original building that I wanted to build that we saw in Toledo, the original building. He was the designer of it. Hello. And we're going to see what it would cost to do that building. It's 23,000 square feet. It's got a full-size gym, a regulation gym. It'll seat 600 people. I think it has 20 classrooms, 20 rooms. It goes all the way around. It flanks all the way around, so it'd be enough for the school and the Sunday school. It's built. I don't know if you remember the pictures that remember when Rose and I came back, the very first building, we said we were so excited about it. Years ago, this man worked for Midwest. He was the one to design that building. They couldn't have built that. He's the one that designed it. But anyways, it's all working out. What we got to have is faith. The Lord's doing something. You just got to trust me on this. I'm not flipping out. It takes faith to step out. Dave and I have got another appointment with the man to buy this building tomorrow. He's not going to buy it tomorrow, but we're going to sit down and see if he's really for real. Amen? So things are happening. You don't want to miss next Sunday because I'm going to tell you, we're going to see what God's going to do here. And we're fine here, but Lord's given us 30 acres of land out there. I want to go out where the Lord gave me 30 acres of land. I won't have to worry about parking cars and parking motorcycles and people. One of the deacons, Bobby Shell here, lots of times he said, "Preach, you got to see." He said, "I've watched four or five cars every week come through here. There's nowhere to park, and you just keep on going." See, we still got some room to put people in this building. But our parking lot fills up before our church building does. And the average statistics teach that you only run 80% your seating capacity in your building. And so now you realize this is not all the people we have here. You have people in the basement running super church, a Mickey Mouse church, whatever they call it. You got toddlers. Then you got the Becca building over there, probably another 75 to 100 people over there. Hello? And I'm excited. I know the Lord's put his hand on me. You have to understand, I've been here almost 18 years. I don't move unless I really know. When God tells me something, when I know for a fact that the Lord tells me something, I do not back down. And I know, and I was sitting there that day, he said, no, you don't take that loan. You whatever you got, you start and you trust me for it, and I'll keep supplying as you go. And to be honest with you, I don't have enough right now to start. We have about $48,000. We're a little less than $50,000. Now I'm not. Davey, I've never built, and preacher's not a builder, but I know that's not enough to start with. But if we could raise some, and if we could get this man that's going to buy our building to give us something to start with, then we could start. Amen. And so. I just hope that you will pray and ask God to lead in everything we do. And I, by the way, I'm just meeting with people. All I'm doing now is fact-finding. I won't do nothing. When I get all the facts, then I'll bring it back to the church. Amen? And I'm even telling you, I'm having fact-finding meetings. So I'm trying to keep you informed and everything is good. When I know, you'll know. Amen? Alrighty. Judges chapter 20. It's already 11:30. I'll try to get you out here by noon. Boy, it's good to see you today. Good to see people that have been coming, come back. The Lord's doing, the Lord's got his hand on this church. I'm telling you right now, the Lord's got his hand on this church. And we've got some very exciting days ahead of us, don't we? He's bringing people. He's starting to put people in positions that we needed, and he's getting bringing all kinds of different folks in to help us, and we're excited about that. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, Judges chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. I redid this whole message, Andy, yesterday. I wrote all the notes. I've preached this message in the past. It's called 700 Men of Gibeah. 700 men of Gibeah, John. And I just knew God wanted this portion of scripture, so if you heard me preach this in the past, it might be different because I wrote down what the Lord told me to say this time I'm preaching it to you. It's all from the Lord that I got today. Alrighty, Judges chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. Then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man. How many see that? Boy, that's what we need here, Brother Mark. All Bethel to be one man, unity, one accord, as the book of Acts teaches. When we start out, we got to be one accord. And from Dan even to Beersheba, in the land of Gilead unto the Lord of Mizpah, and the chief of all the people, even all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen. Wow, that's an army, isn't it? That drew the sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were gone up to Mizpah, and they said unto the children of Israel, tell us how was this wickedness? And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered, and he said, I came in to get Gibeah that belonged to Benjamin. By the way, they really stopped there. They were traveling. He stopped there because he didn't want to stay unless it was part of the people of God. He didn't want to stay in with the heathen, and yet his own people hurt him. Boy, it's bad when God's people hurt God's people. And I and my concubine to lodge, and the men of Gibeah rose up against me and beset the house round about by night, and thought to have slain me, and my concubine have they forced that she is dead. And I took my concubine and cut her in pieces. By the way, he put her in 12 pieces. And over in 1929, you can see he cut her in 12, bone and all, Andy. Bone and all, cut her in pieces. He sent one piece to all. There's 12 tribes of Israel. He sent one piece to every tribe of Israel. Boy, can you imagine getting one of those pieces of a person's body? That guy, he made his point, didn't he? He sent it throughout all the country, the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. Behold, ye are all the children of Israel. Give here your advice and counsel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this message I preached years ago over and over. I preached it in revivals. I've preached it here at Bethel. I know I have. And this has been on my heart for over a month. And Lord, today I believe you want me to preach this message. And I pray that I can be a help and an encouragement. I pray that this message will be a blessing, oh God. If you don't bless it, Lord, it won't be blessed. Heavenly Father, please bless it. And come down, Holy Spirit, and work in everyone's heart. And Father, help me to do well for you that I can be a blessing to the people. And Lord, bless the service tonight. And Lord, thank you for all the birthdays today and yesterday and this week. Bless all our folks that had birthdays and just give them many more wonderful years ahead. And Lord, help us with our building program. Lord, make things happen. Let us see the mighty hand of God. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me give you instead of reading all the verses, the two chapters here, let me give you the background of this story. This Levite had a concubine. And a concubine was like another wife. Are you with me in the Old Testament? How many are with me? And she got mad or something, the Bible taught, and she didn't say what, but she left him. If you study the scripture, you'll see that in the chapter before that, she left him and was gone for 4 months. And after 4 months, he just went to get her. And he was bringing her back, but when he went to get her, she was staying at her father's house. And by the way, can I say something to you young couples? When you get in a fight, don't run back to mom and daddy. When you get mad over something or your spouse does something you don't like, don't get all huffy puppy and throw your hands up and say, I'm leaving. Stay. Stay home. Work it out. Steve, if you and your wife get in an argument, don't you tell mama. You guys work it out. And you just take a rolling pin and you hit them over the head and it'll work out. Amen. No, I'm kidding. Kidding. We have more marriages messed up because they go back to the parents, and then the parents get involved, and then you never get it back. And then a couple days later, you're smoochy, woochy, hoochy, ooh, honey, bunny. But that parent never forgets. And so you've caused a wedge and a bridge and a drawing apart for that family. How many are listening to the preacher today? I know what I'm talking about. I give you, that's the best Bible counsel you can have on marriage. Too many marriages are getting messed up because people are running back to mom and dad. Stay home. And mom and dad, if they run to you, send them back. Oh, it's quiet in here. Send them back. And let them work it out. They'll last a lot longer without you getting your nose in it. Hello? Aren't you glad you came? The reason this Levi, he goes to get his concubine, and she, her dad says, stay here another day, stay here another day. Man, day after day goes by, and finally says, no, I'm leaving. So he grabs her, and they leave, and they leave late, Coolidge, because the father-in-law didn't want him, he just wanted to make him stay there. So now he's going back, but now he's too far away from home to get home. And he has to stay somewhere to sleep. And he wanted to stay in one of the cities of Israel. So he stays in Gibeah, which is a property of Benjamin. Are you with me? How many are still with preacher? And while he's there, these evil men, they're actually queers, sodomites, they first said, give us the man. This one man was good enough to let him come in their home. He said, don't stay outside. Come on in here. And they stormed the door, and they tried to take him. And we don't know if they did harm to him. I kind of think they knocked him out or something because I don't think he just gave him his wife. Hello? After four, you think he's just going to say, take her? Anyways, they took her, and They abused her all night long. They abused her so much she died. He wakes up in the morning. She's at the doorstep. She's dead. He finds her dead. He's so irate over them doing it because the reason he stopped in Gibeon and kept going on because he wanted to stay with his brethren. Boy, don't knife the brethren. Christians, be good to the household of God. Don't talk about it. Don't tear down Christians. Be good to Christians. Love Christians. We're all the same family. Sometimes you wonder, man, how can Christians do this to one another? We need to love one another and care about one another. Amen? Instead of talking bad about one another. God help us. And anyways, so he cuts her up in 12 pieces. Sends a piece to all 12 tribes. And so he gets with the other 11 tribes and says, hey, this is what they did to my concubine. And so the heads of Israel, the 11 tribes, went to Benjamin and said, hey, look what they did to this Levite's concubine, your people of Gibeah. All we want you to do is give us those ones that did that. They murdered her. We're going to murder them. But we don't want to hurt nobody. Just bring us the guilty. Just bring those that shed the blood. You know, God believes in capital punishment. And Genesis 9:6 says, "Whoso sheddeth blood, his blood shall be shed also." I believe in the electric chair. I do, and I believe when people kill people, they ought to be killed. And I know the liberal bleeding hearts don't do that, but I'll tell you, the Bible teaches when you kill somebody, purpose. Now, if it's an accident, it's different. But if it's on purpose or maliciously, it's eye for eye, life for life. Amen? So, anyways, they go to him. They say, now, but Benjamin said, no, we're not going to do it. It's amazing how when Christians know to do right, they got to be stubborn and say, protect the evil. If your child does something wrong, tell them when they're wrong. If you do something, we got to fess up when we're wrong. You know, a lot of us never want to admit that we ever do any wrong. And so they tried to cover their sin and said no. So God says, all right, we're going to send troops. And then make a long story short, they went three times. They charged them three times with armies. The first two times they were sent back, but God said, keep going. And then the third time they defeated them. And they got those wicked men. Are you with me? Because the wages of sin is what? Yeah, and the way of the transgressor is hard. You're right. But I want you to look. What I want to preach on is verse 15 and 16. But look at verse 11 before we get there. So all of the men of Israel gathered against the city, knit together as one man. I alluded to this earlier. Church, look up here. We need to be one for Christ. When we go forward, Brother Coolidge, we need to be one. Oneness of heart. Well, I don't know about, like even tonight, I don't know if we want those bikers in our church. We ought to have oneness of heart. Hey, God, if you bring them, we're going to try to show them love of Christ and try to win them to Jesus. There ought to be a oneness of heart. Amen? There ought to be a oneness of heart when we go soul winning. A oneness of heart when we teach Sunday school. Oneness of heart when we run the bus routes. Well, I'm not for those bus routes. It's $4 a gallon. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you, I'm glad those little kids are coming and getting saved. I see you baptized. Looks like you had a lot of children here last week. Looks like there's a little boy there. That little heavenly was a little girl a few weeks ago. And there's a boy there, a little boy there. There's a little boy there, little boy. I'm glad for these children who got saved. And, praise God, I'm glad that someone probably ran on a bus. We're going to keep running those buses even though it's $4 a gallon. Because God wants kids to be saved. Notice verse 11, they were all gathered as one man. In other words, they had unity. There was you get a church that's united, it'll go forward. You get a church that's split, you'll quench the spirit, and we won't see people saved here. We won't see people walk and get baptized. It'll just dry up. But we got to keep our spirit here warm for God. Amen. Next week, I'm going to be telling you more about the plans of our future building. And I hope we can all be excited about that, what God's going to do. Well, look at verse 15 and 16. That's what I want to preach on. It's already 18 minutes before 12 o'clock. So I'm challenged here. And look at verse 15 and 16. This is what I want to preach on. By the way, these men here, these 700 men that I'm going to preach about, they were left-handers. There's some qualities about these that we should have. But lest I would forget to say it, these 700 men were not the good guys. They were on the bad guys team, okay? But they had a quality. I heard this message, by the way, when Brother Mark, you took those kids at Maslin. Years ago, I went to that student day, and Brother Jones preached this, and this is where I heard this message at. And notice what it says in verse 15. And the children of Benjamin, are you in verse 15? I'm going to preach from 15 and 16. The children of Benjamin were numbered at the time out of the cities 26,000 men that drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. Among all the people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Now, praise God. Did you notice? What were they? I'm not going to tell you if I'm left-handed or right-handed, but praise God for left-handers. I mean, I thank God for left-handers. I'm not going to tell you if I'm left-handed or right-handed, but more, I thank God for left-handers. When I was growing up, my favorite pitcher, because remember, I didn't live here in the Cleveland area. I lived over, and I was for the Yankees because they're winners. I like being winners, and I can't stand to lose. And so there was a man named Whitey Ford, one of the greatest pitchers ever pitched, and he was left-handed. Your son is left-handed, Brother Mike. And Pastor Dave is left-handed. By the way, how many left-handers are here? Raise your hand. How many left-handed? Wow. No wonder this church. Wow. Wow. Amen. Thank you. How many are right-handed and wish you were left-handed? All right. Amen. And so, left-handed. And I said, wow, what a tremendous thing being left-handed. But I got all puffed up when Brother Jones, when he was preaching this, man, I said, all right, man. I was a lot younger kid then. It was way back when I was in Toledo. I came to Massillon and took some kids there. And, man, I said, wow, even the left-handers are special in the Bible. And then Brother Jones popped my bubble. He said these soldiers originally, they were soldiers indeed. And they were the best of the best. But he said, these soldiers were, Samuel, they were originally right-handed. But because of the battles and the wars, they might have lost their right arm or their right hand or their fingers. And he said, but they wanted to be soldiers. Oh, if we'd want to be, to God, to have a heart to be a soldier. To God to be a soldier, amen, for their country, for their God. And he said they wanted to be a soldier so much that they said, I don't care what it takes. I'll be a left-hander. And so they practiced and they worked long hours every day to become real skilled left-handed. Look at that verse 16. Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Everyone could sling a stone at a hairbreadth and not miss. In other words, those guys were sharpshooters with a sling. Are you with me? Andy, they could knock things way out. They could knock them down. They were the elite of the soldiers. These left-handed men who were originally right-handed. But because they didn't want to give up being a soldier, They just worked harder at being left-handed so they could still be a soldier. Are you still with me? By the way, I didn't mention this, but I wanted to. The reason that Levi went to those tribes of Israel, and when you study there in chapter 17, verse 6, I think it is somewhere in there, said there was no king. There was no king at that time, and every man did it right in their own eyes. When people do right in their own eyes, you're going to have problems. Chapter 18, 1 says there was no king. Chapter 19, 1 says there was no king. See, we need to have a king named Jesus. He's the King of Kings. And he needs to be leading, guide our life. Amen? Amen. Well, let me real quickly just give you these 700 men of Gibeah. They had three great qualities that every Christian should have. Three great qualities, and I'm going to give them to you real quick. Number one, these 700 men that were left-handed, number one, the first quality they had, they would not quit. Hallelujah. I'm glad for guys that won't quit. Amen. They lost their right arm, but they would not quit. No, I'm not going to quit. I'll do it left-handed. I'm going to be a soldier. I'm going to stay in the battle. I'm going to stay in the fight. I don't care what happens. You take my right arm, I still got a left. I'm not going to quit. No matter what you do to me, I'm not going to quit. Amen. You see, they had an attitude that we ought to have as Christians. You know, a lot of times we're in battles. We get hardships. We get setbacks. And the first thing we think is, oh, I'm going to quit. I'm going to take my ball home and quit. Hello? We need some Christianity that says, I won't quit. Amen. We need some convictions in our hearts that say, we won't quit. We need some people to say about their Christian walk with God, I won't quit. You know, it's amazing. Some people walk with God for a while, but then they quit. I see Christians all the time, up and down, up and down, up and down. 1 month they're on, 1 month they're off. 1 month they're on, up and down. Why don't they just say, hey, I'm going to give it all to you, God, and I'm not going to quit. Miss Mert, you went through some real scary trials a few months ago, and but if now you got the victory, but I knew if you didn't, you still would have said, I'm not quitting. Dee, you and I, you've been through all kinds of challenges in your life, but you've never quit. And that's the key. That's the key to victory for a Christian life, Andrew. I don't care what happens. I don't care what I have to go through. I will not quit. I will not turn my back on God. I'll not quit. I'll not quit. Boy, we get that kind of heart. Amen. Christianity, people give up too easy. Even before I was saved, and I think that's one reason God called me to preach. When I was a kid, when I was lost, I would not give up. I am not kidding you. I'm obsessed with winning. Honest to God, I am. I think some of you know me. I can't stand to lose. It kills me. When I lose, it rips my heart out. I wouldn't care. Brother Mark, I wouldn't care if it was 25 to nothing. I still think I'm going to win. And a lot of times I would come back and win. You know why? I never quit. I just believe we should never, if I'm not going to quit in sports, I should never quit on God. Too many Christians, I'm just going to quit on God, quit on church. I'm going to quit church, I'm going to quit coming. Hello? Get some conviction today. I thought about John Mark. His first missionary journey, he quit and went back. Thank God that we got a God of a second chance, and Mark became a blessing in the future for Paul. Amen? Stay in the fight. Don't quit. Don't give up. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. And I'm going to tell you right now, by me not getting a mortgage, I've taken on a big thing, haven't I? But I'm going to trust God. Once we start digging out there, don't come and say, preacher, I think we ought to quit. We're not going to quit till the last brick's laid. Amen? Amen? We need to have a heart. When we begin to build, we will not quit until the job's done. We're going to have some battles. Every Christian has battles. Everyone has trials. Everyone has troubles. You can't quit on them. You got to stay in the fight. Amen. We will not quit. We can't quit. By the way, do you know how many people are counting on your life? People are counting on your life. Josh Sales, I thought about you, you and your bus routes. Eddie White and you guys that do the bus routes. Danny Sable, Larry Brummett. All those kids that were saved through the bus routes. What if you would have never, what if you'd have quit? What if you'd have gave up and those buses would not have run? Somebody would not have been reached. What about our missionaries that you help support? All those, and we're never, by the way, we're never going to, like I was excited about Renee last week showing me about Belarus. He's got that one national preacher there. Because believe it or not, Renee's going to get kicked out of there real soon. He would have never, if we wouldn't have sent Brother Renee, he would have never reached that man, and that man's going to reach more. Can you imagine how many people that your life affects? Because your Andy, your life affects people, and then their life affects people. But if you don't reach them, watch this. Come here, Jimmy. Come here, boys. Come on up here, too. Come on up here, son. Okay. Let's just pretend Samuel here. Here's the missionary to Zambia, his daddy, okay? He's got a lot of Zambia in him, amen? He loves Zambia. If Samuel didn't reach this man, and then let's say Samuel reaches this man, then this man reaches this man. Okay? Are you with me? He reaches none. What happens if Samuel don't reach this man? You affect, they say the average person has a circle of 200 people around them. So,
then you got to do all those circles of those 200 people. Amen. Hello? You see how important it is
to not quit on God? Because if you quit on God, there's going to be a lot of people. Thank you. You can be seated. There's going to be a lot of people not reached. How many people are counting on you not to quit? You say, I don't make a difference. Oh, yes, you do. You make a difference. And now number two, they did not quit. They didn't make excuses. They did not make excuses. They could have said, well, we lost the use of our right arm, right hand, the fingers, thumb. I guess I can't be a soldier no more. And that's a lot of us Christians do. We got this now, so we can't do something. You know, you might not be able to walk, but you can still use your phone. You might not be able to walk, but you can still call. You can still pray. You can still be faithful and be a faithful member. Hello? There's a lot of things we can do if we don't make excuses. I noted this. They could have made excuses, but they did not. Some of your marriages are falling apart. Some of your marriages are in trouble right now. You listen to me. Some of your marriages are in trouble. You know why? You're making excuses. Quit making excuses about the other person. Let's just sit down and say, what's the problem? And let's get to the problem. And let's get rid of the problem. Quit making excuses. The problem is you're making excuses. Hello. Quiet in here now. The problem is some of you are not faithful. The problem is, for instance, I put this down. Some people, Andy, might be here today, and they're making excuses why they can't get saved. Quit making excuses. You're going to hell. You need Christ as your Savior. Don't make excuses. When I give the invitation, come forward and get saved. Some of you Christians are making excuses why you can't be faithful, or you make excuses why you can't sing in the choir, or you make excuses why you can't get baptized, or why you can't tithe, whatever, can't go on visitation, or give the missions. You make excuses for everything. Why don't you quit making excuses? Say, that man's telling me the truth. I'm going to do it. Amen. We can make excuses now, Brother Coolidge, because we're not going to borrow from the world to build our building. We say, well, I guess we're not going to get it because we don't have no money from the bank. But God was here way before the bank.
Amen.
Hello? We just got to stop making excuses and say, God, it's my fault. It's my fault, God. Show me what's wrong. I'll quit making excuses and I'll start doing right. Amen? They even got a song. They made a song about excuses. Excuses, excuses. I hear them every day. I don't know all the words to play. Excuses, excuses. I hear them every day. And then one says, and the preacher didn't even shake my hand. Oh, my soul. People make excuses all the time. They make excuses why they don't come to church. They make excuses why they don't do why they don't do things that they're supposed to, and they know they're supposed to. Quit making excuses. I'm glad these 700 men of Gibeah, they did not quit. They did not make excuses. And lastly, they simply used what they had. I like that. They simply used what they had. You know, they didn't have a right arm, right hand. Maybe they were missing some thumb or fingers. But they used what they had. You know, a lot of times we say, well, preacher, I don't have a whole lot. Why don't you use what you have? Brother Bobby, we were sitting there at that banker with that $1.8 million. And he was talking about that 4.5 loan. And God said to me, hey, want me to deny my belief in the Bible and stuff like that? And I said, no, I'm not going to do that for no money. Amen. Then he said, why are you going to the world? Don't you have faith in me? Am I the God of gods? Am I the Almighty? Yes. Am I the creator of heaven and earth? Yes. Did I speak and the world was? Yes. And I can't put a little building out there on 8300 Infirmary Road? You knucklehead. You coined that phrase, Eddie White. I got that name from you. You used to say that, new knucklehead. I even called you one the other day. Lizzie laughed. Says, that's a pretty good word. I got it from you. And my heart broke, and I said, hey, why don't, God said, why don't you, and I'm, you know, whether you believe me or not, I'm just telling you what the Lord put in my heart. I'm not changing. And by the way, I spoke up immediately. Those men that were in my house that day, they know, they were there. I spoke up immediately. And the reason, I wanted to be a witness. Because if, when God tells you, you ain't got enough faith to tell people, then you don't really know if God told you or not. I said, God told me just to trust him, to use what we have. If we'll just go out there and use what we have, he'll continually to supply. We're gonna have to raise some kind of substance to go out there with. But once we start, we're going to keep going. Amen. You say, well, if the money runs out, then we'll stop. Because it's God's building, not mine. He's a general contractor. He's a financer. Harold O'Brien taught me this when I was a young preacher. Pastor Harold O'Brien was my preacher for 3 years. He was the man who ordained me and sent me out from Liberty Baptist. He was a southern fellow from Arkansas. And he had a little drawl when he talked. He said, Brother Skyver, I want to tell you something. And I want you to remember this. I'm always getting my preacher boys and saying, sit down, I want to tell you something. I want you to try to remember these words. He said, whenever God's in something, when he's really in it, God's people respond. He said, one way to really see the hand of God, when God's in it, he will move God's people. And you don't have to beat on people. God's people will respond. When God, because the Holy Spirit bears witness in all that are saved. And the Holy Spirit says, amen. And already, Eli, you've said to me, amen, preacher. I believe it's so that God wants that. That wasn't me telling you. That was the Holy Spirit telling you that. Amen? So they simply used what they had. And they became the experts in what they did. All they had was a left arm. They didn't have the right. But they became the elite. They became so famous that God put them in the Bible. Chosen, the 700 chosen men. Left-handed. Hallelujah for left-handers. No wonder they got good. They got rid of that rightness and got left. Rightness is only good for politics. Be to the right. But in life, be left. Handed. They did not quit. They did not make excuses. And they simply used what they had. And that's what we need to do. We need to teach our children and do what we can for God, not above our means, but simply use what we have. And can I say this to you? When we get an attitude of not quitting, and we get an attitude of not making excuses, we have a whole lot more to offer God than what we think. I got thinking what I could offer God during this campaign that's going to be coming up. I've already got some ideas, some things that I personally want to give to God to help raise money. I have some things that I want to personally give to God. And I got thinking, what could I give God? I don't have a big bank account. And they said, well, you got this, and you got this, and you got that. I said, yeah, and I don't even use it. Maybe I could do that for you. You see, all God wants us to do is not, don't quit, don't make excuses, and just simply use what you got. Little as much when God is in it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. I pray we can learn these three great characteristics to have in our life. Every Christian ought to have I won't quit attitude. They ought to have an attitude I'm not going to make excuses. And they ought to have an attitude, God, I'm going to just simply use what I've got. Lord, you told me, don't wait for a miracle to come to you. Use what I give to you. And you become the miracle. You be the miracle using what you have. We're all standing around waiting for somebody else to do something. All we need to do is say, Lord, here's what I've got. I'll use this for you. We simply use what we have. I pray that you'll bless, and I pray that you'll work in people's hearts today. There's some lives that need to be reached here. Some Christians thinking about quitting. Some marriages that are having trouble. Some people that are thinking about dropping out. Some people thinking about what they don't have nothing to offer. Lord, they're making excuses. They're quitting. They're not using what they have. And Lord, I just pray today you'd get a hold of each heart and let them examine their life and see what they can use for you. And give to you and surrender to you. Pray that they would not quit on their marriages. Pray they wouldn't quit on their families. Pray they wouldn't quit on their soul winning and they're reading their Bible and studying and being faithful to the work of God. Oh God, work in our hearts today. Give us some attitude that we need. We pray these things in Christ's name. With every head bowed, every eye closed. How many could say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved, and if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise a hand? I'm sure I'm going to heaven. I'm sure of it. Thank you. You may put them down. How many would be honest with themselves and don't make no excuses today? This is no excuse Sunday. No excuses. Preacher, if I died, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. And I'd sure like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven, pray for me. Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven, pray for me. Who'd say that? Just raise your hand and put it back down. Who'd say that? Quit making excuses. Well, I'll do it next week. No. Quit making this week, right now. Who would say it? Preacher, I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. I won't come to you, but I will pray for you. Who'd say that? Pray for me. I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven, and I don't want to die and go to hell. How many Christians would say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. As you preach, God spoke to my heart, and I've been thinking about quitting, or I've been making excuses about stuff, and I need to quit making excuses, and I need to get a better attitude. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 all over the building. God bless, yes, yes, God bless you. Today, let's learn some things from those 700 men of Gibeon. Not to quit, not to make excuses, and to simply use what we have. Father, I pray with all my heart, you do the work of God in each one of our hearts. And Lord, if there's lost here, please help them to quit making excuses. Help them to be saved today, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse.